superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Watch me with you.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back off, because the Jets are allowed to have nice things.
Tyler Kroft all alone. Mike White finds him for the go-ahead score.
And that if Mike White continues to do well, the Jets will have high-class problem.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. Coming up from the new film King Richard, actor John Bernthal, two-time Super Bowl champion Terrell Suggs, plus actor and musician Tyrese Gibson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and the news broke in hour number one. We were on the air. How many things have broken in the last week and a half that we're on the air reacting to, Chris?
I love it.
From Aaron Rodgers playing an anti-vax bingo card on the Pat McAfee show, to Von Miller being traded, to Derrick Henry having his foot broken. My gosh, and now Cam Newton is signed with the Carolina Panthers.
Love it.
The only thing we could compare it to is Fran Tarkenton going from Minnesota to the Giants back to Minnesota, but he didn't win a Super Bowl for Minnesota. But he did go to a Super Bowl for Minnesota, right? Cam went to an MVP quarterback who went to a Super Bowl for one team, leaves that team and goes back to that team, or shown the door by that team.
Yeah, kind of unceremoniously his exit there.
You know, Kyle Allen, they decided let's go with Kyle Allen while Cam's foot injury was healing. And then that foot did not, heal mysteriously or miraculously or unfortunately.
Yeah,
however
shoulder
you want to put
thing
it.
The year before.
Oh, gosh, and he looked good before the foot thing happened.
Yeah. Which happened in a preseason game.
And guess what, man? The guy who's coming in with his team is the first visitor for the Panthers with Cam back on the team. The Panthers are in Arizona for this week, and I proffer to say Cam will not be out there on the field this week. You know, signed on a Thursday, not playing on a Sunday for a new team. So, and you take a look at the money that was reported that he signed for, up to $10 million in incentives this year, with how much guaranteed? $3.5 million?
Four and a half, including the $1.5 million from the Patriots that he had guaranteed.
Okay,
for this season.
So you know what that means? He's starting.
Yep.
He's starting. And thus, his first start will happen at home against Ron Rivera and the Washington football team. Can't make it up.
Yeah, I threw up a poll, Rich. How do you see Cam's return to the Panthers this season going? No difference. Gets them to 8-9 wins or a playoff team. At Rich Eisen Show, vote right
well,
now.
Well, they have a defense to be a playoff team if they can be more efficient on offense, not turn it over like they have been recently with the Sam Darnold. Let's get McCaffrey healthy. Here we go.
McCaffrey, who looked pretty good against New England, over 100 yards.
Here we go, bro. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. Then there's, you're looking at me like you got something else.
Oh, I was just going to say a player we haven't been talking about today, who we have been talking about all week, Odell Beckham.
What do you have, sir?
Diana Rossini from about an hour ago from the Worldwide Leader. Teams are talking to Odell, believe that the wide receiver will wait until games are complete on Sunday before making his final decision, per sources. So as you said yesterday, if you're Odell, you kind of wait a while, see how everything shakes out. Looks like Odell's going to wait till after week 10 on Sunday.
So how big is this game? Let's just assume here. How big is this game between
New England and the
Browns? I mean,
or Cleveland and Seattle. I mean, Green Bay and Seattle.
Green Bay and Seattle.
So he goes to the winner. Winner gets Odell.
Winner takes Odell. I don't know if he needs to see how Green Bay looks, unless he wants to see how Rodgers looks post-COVID. I don't think you need to see what Green Bay looks like, but you do need to say, like, I'm not signing with Seattle at 3-6.
Right.
4-5 is a different story. Russ looks good, doesn't look good. Totally different story. Not signing if he gets hurt again with that finger and it's Geno Smith for a 3-6 team. Why am I signing with that team right now? Mm-hmm. Difference between New England being 6-4 and 5-5? Or maybe he's just inspired by Cam and he'll re-sign with the Browns.
Or the Giants? Who are the Giants playing this week?
Who are the Giants playing this week? Big game for the New York Giants. They're off. They're on a bye week.
Win the bye week.
It's the only thing I can think of.
Who else is involved in this chase that
Saints.
He might need to
Saints.
See?
Yeah.
So
Saints.
The Saints, difference between, let's see how Simeon looks one more time. It makes sense. There's no rush. Like, let's see what you look like after this week. Another injury. You sign somewhere and the quarterback goes out. What if Rodgers comes back and, heaven forbid, significant injury?
Saints upset Tennessee this week then.
What if Taysom to Odell is the new Brady the Moss?
There you go.
I mean, Taysom to Odell. Trevor.
Well, I'm saying if Trevor Odell doesn't work out, you know, we've always kind of wondered what
Trevor
Taysom
to Odell.
Do.
What if he wants to go play with Cam?
Remember they did that video together last year.
Yeah.
You know?
Would Instagram break if the two of them are on the same team?
Would Odell switch to the weird font?
Whatever. I think it's, like I said, I thought it was a smart move for him to just sit back and wait. Odell, just let your phone ring. Let your phone ring. You don't need to be somewhere right now. It's too late for you to play this week anyway. Make your decision. So it looks like, I guess, Monday morning, because he's not going to wait much longer than Monday morning. He's going to sign somewhere Monday morning. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get into that camp and go.
So he can play.
Yeah, so he can get going.
Yeah.
Clear whatever protocols you need to clear and go. Whatever physical you need to clear and go. Get in the playbook and go. How about that? Then there's tonight. Baltimore Ravens against the Miami Dolphins. Let's put the Dolphins aside because they're not doing anything this year. Sorry, South Florida and fish fans, even though it is a mammal. Just to be buttoned up on that stuff. It being a Dolphin. Baltimore Ravens, 6-2. Let's talk MVP race, shall we? Lamar Jackson this year has been terrific. And if you look at his numbers through the first 8 games this year and his first 8 games of his MVP season, it's the same record, 6-2. He has almost 300 more passing yards through 8 games. 400 more passing yards, pardon me. Thank you, Chris.
I got you, Math Rich.
400 more passing yards. He's got 2,209 passing yards now. He had 1,813 through 8 games in 2019. Rush yards, 37 more in 2019 than now. He's got 600 rushing yards through 2021's first 8 games. And his passing rushing touchdowns, he accounted for 17 in 2019's first 8 games, including a 5 spot in week 1 against Miami. That's the last time he was down there. A 5 spot in his first game that 2019 season. He's got 15 through 2021 first 8 games this year. 15. And guess what? The year that he had these numbers, in 2019, he was the unanimous most valuable player. So why aren't we talking about that right now as much as we are?
Well, I brought it up on Monday.
I know you did. It's a collective we, NFL media.
I get it.
I'm lumping everybody in, Chris. It's a big boat.
It's a big boat. Big.
But the shark is...
He's been awesome.
Lamar.
He's been awesome.
That's your Jaws references for you, Mike.
I love
you're
Jaws.
Back. I mean, you're back this week, and you know you've been out for 2 days. And
you need a bigger boat.
I know. I just want to make sure you're paying attention.
I am.
Not convinced.
No, not at all.
Talking about Lamar.
So, tonight's game, man. Maybe they go into Miami and he does it again. He starts boat racing everybody and we start top. I mean,
it should not be close tonight.
The other guys for MVP that we've been talking about all year, Kyler Murray.
Yep.
Tom Brady.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford. Derrick Henry. Josh Allen. Did I miss anybody?
No.
Derek Carr has been on the outside of that periphery.
You're pushing Derek
Carr. We talked
Carr.
About Herbert through 5 weeks. It was 4-1. We talked about Herbert. And then he turned into a bear for 2 weeks, to use the Marshall Faulk phrase.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
Lamar is, I think, going into week 10, your front runner for most valuable player in the National Football League.
Rich, according to Vegas, Brady and Josh Allen still ahead of Lamar right now.
Brady should be considered for MVP, for sure.
I mean, he leads the NFL in yards and touchdowns.
Is Lamar already he's already got one? We're not, let's start looking around for others. Does
no,
he already have that
Brady
count
has,
against him?
Brady has three, and Rodgers has a couple, so no, I don't think so.
He deserves it. His numbers are just as good as the year that he torched them all. And he's, I think, poised for a pretty damn big night tonight.
I think so, too.
Yeah. In Miami. The Dolphins are there for the taking, man. They are there for the taking. And is any idea if it's Brissett or Tua just yet? You want to troll around the internets for that sort of thing?
Haven't seen yet.
And then there's the question here as well I'd like to pose amongst all of this. The AFC team you trust the most. Ooh. I'm going to throw that out since it's being talked about quite a bit this week. And then give you an answer, and the end answer undercuts the question to begin with.
Okay. So let's just look at the AFC right now, Rich.
Yes, please.
As we've been talking about all week, 11 teams have at least 5 wins.
Yes, sir.
None has more than the Tennessee Titans are at 7. Baltimore has 6. Everyone else has 5.
Right. And the 5-win teams have either 3 losses or 4. There's...
Yeah, your
3 teams.
Yeah, your 3 lost teams.
And there are 5-4 teams.
Chargers, Bills, Raiders, Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Your 4 lost teams. Obviously, they haven't had a bye yet. Patriots, Chiefs, Browns, Bengals.
Broncos. And don't forget the Colts, everybody. The Indianapolis Colts at 4-5, just one game out. But in the 12th spot, deep in the sniffing it column.
They would have to go on a pretty big run here.
So which one do you trust the most?
Trust the most. Oh, my goodness.
And you say, you know what? If I had a guess, I'll go with this one.
I want a team with a really good coach.
Okay.
I want a good team with a really good quarterback
yes.
who doesn't turn it over.
Yes.
And I want a team with a reliable defense
yes.
and run game.
Yes.
The team I trust the most is the Tennessee Titans.
What about you over there, sir? T.J. Jefferson.
I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the AFC, but...
Oh, my gosh.
You don't have an AFC team? I thought you'd have an AFC team.
No, I only have one team in football. All right, you jerk. You know what? I'm going to go with the Ravens.
I thought that's where you were going to go, Chris, but you're such a Patriot honk, you can't bring yourself to use the R word like that. Because you want to talk about a run game, you want to talk about a quarterback who's not turning it over very much. And one thing about the Lamar MVP candidacy this year, as opposed to the numbers that are better and very similar to his MVP campaign of 2019 through the first 8 games, is in 2019, nobody thought he could come back in a game where they were down by 10 points or more.
Right. Exactly.
Nobody thought that.
He's gotten a lot better as a passer.
He's 3-0 in those games this year. He was 0-6 since coming into the league as a starting quarterback in those games. Coming into this series now 3-0. So you choose the Ravens and you choose the Titans, Chris?
I'm going Titans.
You're correct, Chris.
The Titans.
You are.
Oh.
Sometimes you just got to stare at the situation and realize what you're looking at. That's what we're looking at with the Titans. If Derrick Henry was active, I think everybody would just not even bat an eyelash. But honestly, sometimes everyone's just like, it's Tennessee, it's the Titans. And you just overlook the fact that they're the Tennessee Titans. They're not in the Northeast and the East Coast bias, and they're not on the West Coast where we are and all that business. And sometimes you just got to take a look at what you're looking at. And what you're looking at is, in my mind, a coach of the year candidate, Mike Vrabel. He can coach football, man. And he is just he's got his guys smart. There are smart football players out there. They're situationally smart. And I know that's associated with someone who's supposedly from the Belichick coaching family tree, but he was never on a Belichick coaching staff.
No, he busted his chops at Ohio State.
And then went to Houston.
Yeah.
And obviously coaching with a coach who was on the actual Belichick coaching tree, but he's a Belichick player. He's the guy who knows the rule book, who can outsmart anybody based on what the rule book is. He's locked in, man. Players dig him. And he's a player's coach, but you know that he's laying down laws. And the defense is getting better. Better. Simmons, Byard, right? Back end, front end. Front end, back end.
I think prior to Sunday night, I would have said the Ravens. But coming in to L.A. the way they did without Derrick Henry, and yeah, they just beat up the Rams.
Physical.
They got in Matt Stafford's face.
They're physical.
And that game really wasn't close on Sunday night, you. So that kind of took it for
they
me.
They can take some pieces out of you.
Yeah.
And then you look at their schedule. They can beat up the Saints this week. If the Saints don't have Kamara at 100%, as they apparently may not have, and, you know, Simeon is coming maybe undermanned. I mean, look out. Then they're home for Houston. What a big game at New England. Home for Jacksonville. At Pittsburgh will be the old slobber knocker. That'll be fun. Short week San Francisco visit to kick off week 16 on a Thursday night. Home for Miami at Houston. Where are the losses going to come from? And they're in front right now. They're in front
right
now.
The only ones I could see on that list. At New England, at Pittsburgh, those are the only real potential trip ups.
Again, Sunday Night Football, Tirico was sitting there at halftime of the Titans beating up on the Rams at one point.
New England's a playoff team. Don't laugh.
Don't laugh.
I'm just saying, it was funny that you threw New England in there out of all those teams.
Those are the only two teams where they could
lose. I would definitely agree with that.
What are the other ones?
I think the Steelers could beat the Titans.
Did you hear me mention the Steelers?
I must have missed that because I laughed at the Patriots. Sorry.
I said New England and Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
On Sunday Night Football, Tirico asked Dungy and Breeze at halftime of the game that the Titans were beating up on the Rams, hey, you know, which AFC team you're looking for? And Dungy goes, there's a ton of them, I guess, but I'll have to choose the Ravens. And it's just like, just look at the television set.
Yeah, we're watching.
Because sometimes I don't know if people think that Tannehill can go the distance.
I think
maybe that's what it is.
Or
the defense,
the
defense isn't that stout, but they're getting stouter.
I think also when you lose a guy that, I mean, you've been touting as perhaps the best player in the game, you lose someone like Derrick Henry.
Understood.
I think a lot of people kind of feel like your team isn't going to be able to survive that type of loss.
It's significant. You can't replace the guy. But
he's
you
the
have
diminisher,
a,
Rich.
Yeah, I know he's the diminisher. But I don't know how diminished they're going to wind up being as a team if Adrian Peterson can come in. And I know that's a huge-ass F with a 36-year-old. But as you know, on NFL Game Day Morning Thanksgiving Day show, that's in a couple weeks from today, as a matter of fact, we get a chance to mulligan on our Super Bowl pick.
You're going to
And I had Chiefs. I had Chiefs and the Bucks. Absolutely swapping off the Chiefs. I'm hopping on the Titans right now, barring anything else.
You're keeping Bucks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Mm. Brady Vrabel?
Excuse me. What did I tell you last year after I chose the Bucks preseason to win it all and then hopped off them on Thanksgiving because they were 7-5 and then hopped off them going into the playoffs?
Abandoned them.
For the Packers.
I mean, I get it.
What did I tell you?
Yeah,
I'm never doing it again.
I understand.
I'm not going to do that again.
You can't. No way.
Okay.
Not with TB12.
Correct. I am not going
not
to do
chance.
That again. So, correct. I'm not getting off of it.
Nope.
I mean, I'm down. I believe you.
And just knowing Derrick Henry, he'll be back.
I don't know, man.
I know that. Let's take a break here on The Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The new film about the Williams family, starring Will Smith and this man, John Bernthal, coming up, talking King Richard, Wolf of Wall Street, and more coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Pleased to have here on the Rich Eisen Show one of the stars of the new film coming out in a theater near you, as well as HBO Max on November the 19th, King Richard. Will Smith plays Richard Williams, the father of Venus and Serena Williams, and the man who plays the role of Rick Macy, one of the more famous tennis coaches in the history of the sport, is John Bernthal here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, John?
How you doing, man? I really appreciate you you having me on. And I agree. You know, the Gigolo Show, it is based on your life, man. And that is why I have my picture up on your wall while I was shooting it, man. I was glad. Now that whole thing makes sense.
Wrong, Richard. That's Gear you're thinking of, not Eisen. Wrong, Richard.
There you go.
But I am an officer, though, and a gentleman.
There you go.
Oddly enough. So you're from D.C. Does that mean you root for D.C. teams, John?
I do. And that's not always the easiest thing. I mean, being a football team fan, you know, has definitely been a struggle. I think, you know, right now I'm shooting in Baltimore.
Oh, boy.
So to see sort of like what the Ravens have done and you know, what, you know, to see what Ozzie Newsome did with that team for so long. And it was quite tempting to sort of abandon ship, but I'm one of these guys. I bleed the burgundy and gold. I'm not going to change. And, you know, I came up in, you know, 83 and 84 mm-hmm. and 87 and 92, where we, you know, we won and participated in Super Bowls with different quarterbacks. And I just don't think that's really, it's just not really possible anymore, man.
You spend time in RFK as a kid? Did you ever go?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those stadiums?
And RFK was a, you know, it's just such a special place to see a game. You know, D.C. is a really interesting city. It's you know, it's like a northeastern city with a very southern vibe, and then you've got Virginia right there, and you know, Maryland. It's all kind of like this conglomeration. But I felt like RFK was sort of the one place where everyone really came together, and the whole stadium rocked. And I miss those days, and I miss that team with all my heart.
So, were you a Nationals guy too? A couple of years ago, when they went on that run, won it all.
Again, I'm not a real bandwagon guy. I mean, I love the Nationals, and I was rooting for them. But you know, when I was a kid, we had the Orioles, so that mm-hmm. you know, it was the days of Brady Anderson and Palmeiro. You know, yes. I grew up an Orioles fan, so.
So you're Brady Anderson and Palmeiro. You're also cursing the umpire Richie Garcia calling the Jeffrey Mayer home run. That's that era is what you're
the
saying,
fan,
John.
All that stuff. Yep.
Okay, but you're in Baltimore now, so that's good for you at least. You know, you're around the Orioles, even though I think you might have won more games playing baseball this year than they did, John. You know, it's entirely possible.
It's really easy to get a ticket, man. So it's super fun to go to the stadium.
It's a beautiful stadium. It really is, Camden Yards. So let's talk about King Richard, because I was on SportsCenter when Richard Williams was saying about his daughters, how terrific they were, and they were going to change the game. And I remember when Serena first started playing, we're like, okay, she's not going to be as good as Venus, and he says she's going to be better. And we're all like, oh, okay, you have our attention. And then he was right. So what did you learn about this process going through all this, playing the tennis coach, Rick Macy, in this, John?
Look, I think a lot of people are going to walk into this movie, with a bunch of preconceptions that will prove to be sort of misconceptions. And I think we'll sort of have this narrative about what I think there's something that goes with sort of the overbearing sports parent that we think that's just this enormous amount of pressure, this sort of unwillingness to bend and to make sure, for lack of a better word, just to always be sort of, just pushing the kids forward, making sure they reach their goals. I think people are going to be really surprised when they really see sort of what kind of his plan and what his method was. And most of it was really removing the pressure that he puts on his kids and making the game fun for them. I think the movie kind of ultimately is this beautiful sort of meditation on fatherhood and on family and on faith. I'm really proud of this one. I don't say that all the time with the movies that I'm in. I think what Will does and what these two young women do is staggering. And look, for me, it's a sport. I played sports in college. I grew up playing sports. Never played tennis before, but getting sort of the mindset of a tennis coach. I trained extensively. They let me train my own, top 50 junior women's tennis player to sort of like learn the vocabulary of coaching. And, I learned a ton about the sport and just how unbelievably mental it is. And I came away having a ton of respect for it and a ton of respect for the Williams as a family, in a new way. And I think, I think raising sort of, one superstar best athlete of all time is miraculous, but doing it twice, yeah, is just, there's like no words for it. And I think you really see sort of you get a front row ticket to sort of seeing what the process was there. And this is not just like sort of a highlight reel of the great moments of the Williams sisters' lives. It's really about the family and how the family kind of got them there and how it was really this collective familial effort. And I think it's pretty beautiful.
So you coached a top 50 player. Is that why Emma Raducanu won the U.S. Open? Because we were wondering how she got that. Was that you, John? Is that you're doing?
Man in the juniors. It was more, look, the guy who made the film, Ronaldo Marcus Green, he's an awesome director. He and I connected immediately. Look, we both play college baseball. Mm-hmm. We both come at this whole thing from athletics. And we really, it's important to us that, you make a movie about a sport, you got to get the sport right. And for me, admittedly, not knowing anything about tennis, I said the only way this is going to work is I got to lose a ton of weight. I got to look like a tennis player. And then I got to really learn the game. And what was really great, what I'm super grateful to him and sort of for Warner Brothers in general for doing, is they didn't only provide me the infrastructure to learn the game, but they let me learn how to train someone. Again, the vocabulary of that, how you train, how you feed, different drills. And, the way that these folks at the Wheel Tennis Center in Ojai, California trained me is they let me actually work with one of their players. And it was great. I got to go see her compete. I got to train her myself. It was awesome. And now I'm taking that on to my youngsters.
So it's Emma Raducanu, right? That's who it was. I mean, just say it, John. It's okay if you coached her up like that. I mean,
man, I signed an NDA, man.
Okay, very good. All right. So were any of the Williams family around? Like, did Will Smith pick the brains of Richard Williams, and were Serena and Venus any part of this at all? John?
They were. Their sister Isha was on set every single day, and she's a producer, and she was enormously helpful. And that's one of the other things you're going to find out about this family and all of the sisters. They all are extraordinarily talented and successful in their paths, and that was sort of one of Richard Williams's rules. I mean, there was no tennis unless the grades were perfect, and there was no, you had to go to church, you had to. You had to do your chores. It wasn't just sort of tennis over everything. It was how is tennis going to serve you, not how are you going to serve tennis. And then Serena and Venus, they were around. They did come to set. I had a wonderful conversation with Serena, right off the jump. just talking about Rick Macy and talking about, you know, I think, look, again, as an athlete, you know, I credit so much of my success and my happiness and my peace of mind to the wonderful coaches that I had coming up. And I was trying to think, you know, what makes a coach great? And I think, you know, Rick Macy, what everyone says about him who played under him, sort of to a person, they just made the game fun. Everything was a game. He was larger than life. He always wanted to keep you laughing, always wanted to keep you happy. And, you know, to remember that the game needs to be fun. And Serena said that, you know, her time at Rick Macy's was one of the funnest times of her life. And so I really tried to take that to heart.
Yeah, he coached Roddick and Capriati and also Sharapova. So did you reach out to him as well? Did you connect with him?
Yeah, so we did. We spoke, and, you know, he's got a book and ton of stuff on the internet. He's going to be at the premiere this weekend. I can't wait to shake his hand and meet him in person, but he's real happy with the movie. And look, he's an interesting character, man. He's got his own vocabulary. He's got these things called Macyisms. Let's put a little more mustard on that hot dog and find the slot, rip the shot, that kind of stuff. And he's constantly sort of doesn't mind being kind of the butt of the joke, just as long as that's getting you to play harder. And I really respect that. He's got this pure love for the game. And I think that's why ultimately sort of Richard Williams let him fit into the sort of overall plan and eventually hired him and then moved to Florida to go live on his, and be a part of that academy. And, I think these are two guys that really were used to doing things their way. And, the compromise that Rick sort of had to take in order to work with Richard, I think that calls for some of the most interesting stuff in the film.
Okay. Are you a serve and volley guy, John? Or are you, what are you? Are you like a magician? Federer?
Like,
what are you?
I just like to let my sheer athleticism, win the day. You know what I mean?
You grit it out. You got to tough it out. You know, those five setters, that's how you survive. All right. So this will be great. Again, King Richard available in theaters on November 19th, also on HBO Max. John, give me right now, please, for everybody here, the best Wolf of Wall Street behind the scenes story that you can tell anybody on live television and radio. Please. What do you got for me?
Oh, man, the best.
What do you got
for
me? Scorsese, Leo, what do you got for me? Anything? McConaughey, if you're around any of those scenes when he was on set?
I think my favorite Wolf of Wall Street story is that whole thing with Sell Me This Pen. You know, that whole thing with the supply and demand and where that came from. Leo was walking to set that day with his security guard, who was a retired New York City detective. And he had turned to Leo and he said, you know, back in the day, I had an interview to work for the real Wolf of Wall Street, for Jordan Belfort. I walked into the interview and all he did is he handed me a pen, said, sell me this pen. So in that scene, Leo just walked in and completely improvised. He just handed me the pen, said, sell me this pen. And the rest of it was improvised. And the thing is, you know, that it was that sort of that entire movie was just kind of electric. You know, working with Scorsese, I mean, I imagine it's like with Belichick, and is it like with any of these guys? It's he's the best of the best. It's the mountaintop, and somehow he's able to literally get the best out of every single person on set. And I think it's a lesson for all of us, no matter what business you're in. You know, he takes the leash off and lets everybody fly. And, literally I could tell you a story pretty much about every day. Some of those things I probably shouldn't tell you, but there's things I could tell you pretty much about every day on that set that would, it was electric and it was alive. And it's the way film should be made.
All right. Is there something that couldn't make it? Even Scorsese said that's too much. Anything like that? No.
We were really, I'll tell you what, Leo talked to us before that movie was made. And, I remember he's such an unbelievable leader. And, he said to us before we started shooting, he said, look, this kind of movie will not be able to be made in 5 years. This is the last time a movie like this is going to be able to be made. And like he did, he had that foresight. He's like, you just won't. So I am asking you all to push the envelope. Like, just go for it. Whatever depraved, sick thought you have in your mind, go for it. And he's like, that's what this is about. And, he's absolutely right. You couldn't make that movie now. And it's a masterpiece. And so, I mean, look, crazy things happened every day. Some things made it in, some things made it out. It didn't. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you every single day there was You know, look, a lot of naked bodies, okay. a lot of you know, pretend debauchery, mm-hmm. and you know, a lot of just pushing the envelope. But you know, like that's what the movie called for.
That might be the name of our fantasy team. Please write down Chris Brockman. We do this all the time. Pretend debauchery would be a great fantasy team name.
That's pretty good.
Pretend debauchery, and we know what the avatar is. It's John Bernthal and Wolf of Wall Street. That'll be fantastic. There's so many other of your. Credits I could go for right now to ask you about, from Sicario to, you know, Baby Driver, Ford versus Ferrari. But John, it's very rare that I have somebody on the show that has a similar credit to me. John, you and I share the fact that we've both been in two episodes of CSI Miami, John.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And
have I been in two? I didn't know that I was in two. Well, I'll take it, man.
Yes, you were in. We looked this up. You were in the episodes. You played Harry Klugman. No relation to Jack, I imagine, right?
Okay, I don't think so.
Okay, you were in the two episodes called Vengeance and Killer Date. That's what you were in. I was in two episodes. You might have seen them or missed them. Caged and Deep Freeze. I was in both of them. On one episode, I played announcer, and the other one, interestingly enough, I got, I guess, upgraded or more descriptive, male announcer. I was in the other one.
Okay, there you go.
But I wasn't helping solve crimes at all. What's your best Caruso story? You got a good one for me, David Caruso?
I didn't really work with him on that stuff, so I'm going to fail you on that one, man. I really don't. You know, I can't. You know, on those shows, you're either the guy who's lying or you're the guy who says who is lying. You know what I mean? I can't even remember which one I was on that. You know,
You've moved on. You've turned the page from CSI Miami. I haven't. You know, I haven't.
Hey, man. Hey, look, man, not at all. I'm real grateful for being on the show, but really do not remember.
What does it mean that I won't ever forget it? What does that mean for me?
It's great, man. It's great. Male announcer. Hey, listen, man.
Yes.
You know what? The thing you got to go for is, for me, it was just always about getting a name on that show.
Sure.
I remember my very first role, I was stage manager on One Life to Live, and I do remember that.
Okay.
And my lines were, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, and I pointed at, they didn't even give me one. I had to point it. I stage manager, but you know, at least I would have appreciated male stage manager at the time. So
sure.
You do have that. Right?
Well, and you could have ad-libbed and gone, you could have said the one, but it was your first gig and you probably just wanted to stick to the script. I get it.
Don't want to totally push the envelope.
John, thanks for the call, man. Everybody should go see King Richard in theaters near you and on HBO Max on November 19th. And you've got a ton of upcoming stuff. That American Gigolo that I mentioned prior to you coming on, that is a Richard Gere, the television version of that? Is that what it is or no? Yeah,
loosely, man. Yeah, it's based off that, you know, obviously sort of modernized, and it kind of takes place after the kind of the crime that's committed. As you can imagine, not the best thing to run by the wife and the kids when I told them that was the new gig. But we're still trying to sort that out.
It's work, John. It's work. You know, it's work. Fantastic. And then The Unforgivable, which is going to be on Netflix with Sandra Bullock in December. Come back then. Let's see what the WFT looks like then. We'd love to chat again. John, thanks for the call.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your time, guys. I really appreciate it.
Right back at you. That's John Bernthal, or at Johnny, J-O-N-N-Y Bernthal, on Twitter and Instagram, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Great. Could you imagine?
I like that guy.
Hold on a second. Let's just linger here for a second.
Okay.
You are fortunate enough to get cast in a Martin Scorsese film.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You are an actor.
I mean,
you get cast in a Martin Scorsese film with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, baby.
Oof. Okay. As you know, DiCaprio's done many films. It's either mostly a Scorsese film or a Tarantino film.
Right.
Correct? I don't think I'm telling any tales
Tarantino,
out of school.
I think it was his first Tarantino.
I thought he's done. No, he was.
Oh, yeah. He's done a few Tarantino. Yeah, you're right.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So.
Yeah, he did Django.
So, I don't know, Scorsese, right? And DiCaprio reaches out to you and says, I'm asking you to just throw every caution to the wind.
Yeah, go for it.
And go for it. How great is that?
How about Leo being like,
how great must that be?
In five years, we can't make this movie.
Yeah.
Like, our window is now. Yeah. Like Spaceballs. Everything that's happening now is happening now.
Right.
Go back to when. We can't. We missed it just now. Go for it. And you're yes.
And they did, didn't they?
That movie is amazing.
I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving.
That's one of the most used memes, right? And
yeah. Especially when
scenes.
Athletes like to use that when they're re-signing with the team.
I'm not leaving.
Yeah. I'm not leaving.
Oh, my gosh. Right? I think that's what happened when Paul George told the Lakers no. We saw stuff like that. Not from Paul, but at any rate, fun stuff right there. That was fun. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. T-Sizzle will help us take you to tonight's Thursday night football game. Terrell Suggs, who I haven't spoken to in forever and a day, he will be joining us in hour number three, and so will the great Tyrese Gibson. We'll play Celebrity True or False with him. And by the way, it involves a Benihana in his backyard. I'm not joking. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't know where anything is anymore. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Honestly, we just showed a video from the Super Bowl in Miami, our last on audience of DirecTV in front of a live audience, and I was wearing this great-looking shirt, and I don't know where that is anymore. I don't know where that is. I don't know where any of these sweaters are. I'm going through the closet. I don't know what's happening anymore. That's how I found that Instagram picture that I posted today. Of me and Stuart Scott from back in the day. I don't know where anything is anymore.
I know that feeling.
I'm going through old boxes and throwing stuff out right now. It's actually liberating.
Is that what you're doing with your spare time?
Yeah, that's what I did for a week.
I know. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Shane in Boulder, Colorado. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Shane?
Hi, Rich. Hey, guys.
What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Shane.
Hey, I'm amazed that the NFL came out and said that they agree with that call on Cassius Marsh from Tony Corrente, when Chris Sims is now coming out saying he's had a similar situation with Tony Corrente when he played in the NFL and explained said situation. I just don't get it.
What situation is that for those who might not have been privy to what Chris Sims said, I assume on this streaming service.
Well, he came out and said of a situation when he played in the league, he got roughed, and he didn't get the call, and he said a curse word to Tony Corrente, and then Tony Corrente then took it into his own hands to not do something for him throughout the game because of that. And then he asked him why, and he said, well, you didn't apologize to me. So it's actually like a personal matter while he's a ref. Like, not okay. Disagree with the NFL. But also, I kind of see it, why they're doing it. Like, trying to save image right now with like the whole Washington stuff going on, John Gruden. They don't want their refs, they got to agree with their refs right now. I get it. Save your image.
Appreciate the call. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Also, Scottie Pippen's coming on ESPN talking a lot of trash to Jordan and stuff or whatever.
Sure has been.
Yeah, that dude's nickname in Chicago, you could ask anyone from Chicago, that dude's nickname is No Tippin' Pippen.
No, I know we've heard that one before. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
Never heard that.
Thanks. Hey, man. I mean, Tippin' Pippen. They are backing up their officiating, and I understand why they'd want to do that. I understand why the NFL would want to do that. I told her, I said, you're making a mistake. You're turning fans off. You got a guy here saying, what the hell is all going on with that guy? That play just, it has to be let go. I've made my speech on it this week. I don't need to do it again. Check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/RichEisen Show for all that stuff.
They agree because it came from the top, right? They're telling the ref to throw these flags. So, of course, you were not going to throw the ref under the bus, right? Would they? They wouldn't do that.
Unless we can parse this one out. That's my point. We were trying to get certain things out of the game. When we're talking about certain things that should get out of the game, I proffer to say nobody in those competition committee meetings and the subcommittee meetings with the coaches is like, let's get guys who stare at a bench between the numbers and the hash marks, who say nothing and saunter a few steps. Let's get that out of the game. With 3 minutes to go in a three-point game after he makes a big play and gets his defense off the field. Let's do that. No, that did not happen. So if it's happening in the game and it was the unintended consequence of why we're actually enforcing the rule that's already on the books, then don't call it and back it up and say, you know what, this is the sort of stuff that we prefer to be out of the game, but we also prefer it not to be called at that moment in time. But everyone's now on notice again, one more time, don't do this stuff. Again, and like I said, it's your job as an official to be unemotional, call it as you see it, and make proper decisions in the crucible of an NFL game. The job of the player is to remain controlled in a game of uncontrolled, sometimes passion and emotion. So let's help those guys out when they get in the gray area by not calling something in the gray area. How about that? Let's help the guys out. Boy, I commented on it again, even though I said I wasn't going to comment on it again. Did I?
And that's the problem. We've been talking about this all week instead of how awesome Justin Fields play, how great the Steelers have been winning four in a row.
Yeah, that's boring. No, I'm just kidding. No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
And that's the problem.
I know how I can transfer my calf to Randy Gregory in time for
How TJ can donate his perfectly healthy calf to Randy Gregory.
You know, I got two of them. I'm good. You can take one.
I have a feeling, I have a feeling both of yours wouldn't be good enough for Randy Gregory.
I don't know, man.
What he's used to. I don't know how much work your calves have gotten lately.
Well, the truth is, my calves are spectacular. Like I'll tell you that right now.
I got a good-looking calf.
If we took
both those calves and...
I don't know, Rich. I don't think that's the one body part that I do work out. I can't even get my pants up over these things.
Why
man?
Are you working that out? Just getting off the couch? Is it something
you know, it's easy. You know,
walking in and out of here every day.
Okay. You know,
I think the Falcons might win this week.
Is this
thing on?
It is. All right. Why do you think that? Cowboys are ripe for the plucking.
Cowboys have looked terrible 2 weeks in a row.
They haven't had 2 weeks in a row. They look terrific with Cooper Rush.
I know. What are you talking
about? Terrific.
They look terrific. They won. They look terrific.
Yeah.
They did not look terrific.
Sure we did.
That was more of...
You were getting Cook and Cousins off the field and getting back out there.
That was more of...
No.
Minnesota's inefficiencies and inability to take advantage.
I thought there was the Dallas' defense that kicked in those inefficiencies.
Or they're a better offense with Cooper Rush at the control. Maybe that's it. Maybe you got a better quarterback. Maybe you've got your own Mike White.
Come on, bro.
Situation.
Nobody, no, you're not.
Maybe you got your own
that.
Issue.
I'm over here flexing my calves. I'm not worried about that.
Oh, my God. You're a little Capri Pant right now.
What
are we doing?
Jeez. Damn.
Schnorts.
That's not a bad calf, actually.
Thank you, sir.
I'll be honest with you. I went higher register on TJ's calves. By the way, new nickname, TJ's calves.
Higher register TJ calves.
No, I can't get these pants back down. That's the problem.
The legs already swelled up. That's it.
We've had some good fantasy names this week. Peter King's Anointing Oils.
Right.
Taunting Obesity,
well,
Rubber Chicken Banquet, and Pretend Debauchery.
But the middle two are from the Dick Butkus interview on
Dick
Tuesday.
Had two good
Having
ones.
Dick Butkus come on after the My Bears goodness. Lost that way, and he was all wound up, and he was trying to, he was there to say, fight obesity.
Yeah.
And after what happened with Cassius Marsh, I told him he was taunting obesity. He almost cursed at me.
Pretty good.